Hello. God bless you. I'm glad to be here with you today. I wanted to start out with prayer, and then we're going to talk about authority. Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are. Be with us now. Strengthen us. Lead, guide, and direct our path. Thank you for this program. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. If you got your Bibles, go to Joshua. And we're going to be in Joshua chapter 5. And we're going to go from there. We're going to go to Matthew and finish there in chapter, what is it? Chapter 6. No, I'm sorry, chapter 8. Okay. Joshua just inherited the children of Israel. What a wonderful group of people. And he's supposed to take this 6 million souls or more into what God has called the promised land, a land of milk and honey. And God promises us many things. And yet, even with those promises, there's still things you have to do to inherit those things. They didn't know they was going to have to fight giants and have to deal with attitudes and problems and even the spirit of disbelief sometimes. But yet and still, God was there with them. And he is guiding Joshua, one of the only men that really came forward, other than Caleb, to show that he was a mighty man of valor, that he wasn't double-minded, that he was a man of faith, and yet he still lacked maybe the administrative skills and leadership skills by hanging around powerful, loving, kind people, you inherit a lot of things. So here's Joshua now. He's inherited this great responsibility of bringing this people into a land filled with people who were warlike, people who were caught up in witchcraft and all types of sexual evil and all types of spiritual blood was on the ground. And yet... he was there and he was looking how to serve God with the gifts that God had given him. Now, verse 13 of chapter 5 says this, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversary? Joshua ready to fight. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You notice that this angel allowed Joshua to worship him. We call this basically a theophany. A theophany is when Jesus appears in the Old Testament, and he's saying that he was the captain of the Lord of hosts, of the host, the angelic army. That Jesus is the captain. He had the power and authority over them. And he was there to guide Joshua through some of these battles. And he would tell him and show him what to do. All through the book of Joshua, you see him appear and as the Lord, the capital L-O-R-D, the Elohim, coming and giving Joshua the special confidence he needed to know that he had the authority to serve God in the capacity of a general. So we see here that he realized that he really realized this was God. When he bowed down, he realized this was God. And we have the Holy Spirit here with us now as a seal and a guarantee that we've been paid for by the blood of Christ and that we also have been given authority. We've been given what they call dunamis power to serve God with all the gifts that he has for us if we will claim them. He's given us the love, power, and a sound mind. And it's a process that we have to go through to gain that. Well, Joshua got it when he was with Moses, when he was going around the mountains as he come. They went around the mountains. Every time they made a mistake, they had to go around the mountain. It took them 40 years to make a 14-day trip. What a trip. Man, I guess I would have been kind of fed up with Moses myself. He's supposed to be the leader. He can't even get me to a place that should have taken no less than 40. Could have taken 40 days, but it's supposed to take 14 days. Took 40 years. Have mercy, Lord. But they knew that he was a man who was under authority and power of God. And now here's his successor, Joshua. And he's starting on his brand new relationship with the captain of the Lord of hosts. Jesus is still the captain, but he's also our king and our savior. He's the king of kings. But we'll see him in Revelation 19 also on that white horse, that white steed, the man who has a name that nobody knows, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But right now, let's go and see another man who was not double-minded, but who had, who understood what authority was. And he's just called the centurion. Verse 5 of chapter 6. It says, and when Jesus, in the King James, Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. That means begging him. Now, centurions didn't usually beg a Jew for anything. They were in authority and power. But he realized who Jesus was. When he said, came begging, he didn't even carry himself like that as a soldier with people in the Roman army. He wouldn't go and beg, even a general. Because as a centurion, he was well respected as a hard and tough soldier. And here in 6 it says, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now this was evidently someone he loved. And most of the time, people who were a servant for those who were in the military or who were wealthy, a lot of times the servant had more education than the person that they served, and they could not, their household would not run without those servants. And so this was someone who was very important to him. Look at 7, and you know, he loved him. Evidently, he loved this servant. Well, they didn't say whether it was male or female, they said his servant. 7, and Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, a lot of times it was you were ostracized if you had a Hebrew to come under your roof. It was kind of like something that was a bad status that would be. It would be looked upon in a negative way. But Jesus was invited, so he said, "I'll come, even to this Gentile." 9, for I am a man under authority. I want to say that again. A man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and lie, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Wow. How do you get God to marvel? God incarnate. Jesus marveled. And said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Wow. Faith, forsaking all, trusting in him. Nobody trusted him like this centurion did. When I said forgiving, faith is when we know that that God is everything, that he understood that Jesus had the power. He saw it. You saw it from the beginning. He had heard. He had probably been in town and saw Jesus healing people. We don't know, but something changed him and made him know that. And even if his servant told him, he had faith in his servant that this was the right man that he needed to contact to get the job done. And that's what a sergeant, that's what a centurion or a sergeant, sergeant major, chief, master sergeant of the Air Force, whoever, these people know how to get the job done. That's why they have the status they have. 11, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. You know, it's something that when we truly believe what the Lord says, when we truly trust him. The word trust in the Old Testament is what we think about with the Greek and believeth. It means to lean upon him. That you have no strength to make it by yourself. You can't do it on your own. You need him to complete whatever the problem or situation. That seems like this mountain that needs to be moved. Well, there's a lot of spiritual mountains in our lives, and a lot of times we don't realize that that God has given us the power through faith, and that is James not being double-minded, not saying, "Wow, Lord, today I believe, and tomorrow," and then a few minutes later you got doubt, like old Thomas. But I'm glad Thomas is in the Bible, because sometimes I act like Thomas myself. I used to anyway, so I'm no better than he. But I thank God for him and Peter being in the Bible. Because if you want to talk about some folks that messed up and got jacked up, there was two of my favorites, guys. Peter got jacked up. and Thomas got jacked up. So, and Lord jacks me up in the spirit too. So I'm not beyond that. But I thank God for jacking me up sometimes. Straighten me up. It will keep you humble. Even God the Father humbled himself. One of the things that we see here, and what I've learned about authority, he triggered this thing in me the other day. And let me just share it with you, if it's okay. Authority. It's like the chief of police, the captain, or the captain of the police department. He has the authority over all the police that's under his that are under him for the protection of the public and for the people. The guys that are under him, or his staff, or the police women and men, know that he has the authority to order them into dangerous situations. But because they believe in him and trust in his skill as a leader, they will do that. They will follow him, and they will attempt to provide safety for those who are weak and those who are in trouble in situations. And this authority can be delegated down, so that the person who might be on duty or present during an emergency situation might be given the same amount of power that the chief of police or the captain has to make a decision to save someone's life. When you think about a captain, I always think about going on a cruise, being on a boat. And I know on the boat there's a captain. He's the leader of the ship. And all the people on that ship are under his leadership or tutelage. He is responsible for that ship being safe and for all the passengers who are on it. And then he has people who work under him. I always think first of the maitre d', because he's the one that's in charge of all the food and the comfort of those who are there to make sure they get all the food that they want and need. And I'm telling you, we always made sure we wouldn't miss any meals, even the midnight meal on Lido deck. We was there. Amen. But the maitre d', one of the things that we knew about him was that before you got out that boat, you know, one of your meals that you went to, that you had to give him a gift. You had to give him some type of compensation for his making sure he was diligent to make sure of your comfort and your eating comfort and while you were on that boat. And so he's really the chief waiter. He's over all the waiters on that ship. And he knew what it was to have authority and to have power. Also the chief steward, those that made up your room, made sure you had clean towels, made sure everything in your sleeping quarters was correct. And he would get something too. Man, all my little money that I had, by the time I paid everybody off, I was broke as the Ten Commandments. But it still was a wonderful experience. And seeing how they worked together and how everybody followed the directorship of the person who was in charge of it. In the military, you think of, in the Navy, you think about an admiral. In the Army, you think about a general. Or the military, you think about that leader who has, admiral has, is the leader of many ships. But when you think of Jesus as being the captain of the host of the angelic army, and also that he is the leader of all of us who are his, who have believed and trusted in him, he's given us authority and power to do great spiritual feats while we're here on this earth. And but the main thing we have to do is, like that centurion, was to trust him. And I'm finding out that many Christians have not trusted Jesus in that area in regards to serving him, first of all, in just being a witness. You know, a lot of us, we don't witness the way we should. We don't tell people about Christ. We don't give our testimony. I'm not talking about a praise report. I'm talking about your testimony. How did you get saved? That's one of the things that we're supposed to do. And that makes all of us ministers or preachers of the gospel. Because when you tell the good news about how you got saved or what happened to you, that is being showing your obedience to Christ. Show what did Jesus do in your life to cause you to change and come to him fully with and give him your heart? And that's what he's looking for. When we see him, it's going to be determined whether we gave him our heart or not. He gave his whole life. He gave his, they stabbed him in his heart at the end of it. I mean, in blood and water. It means he came, his life, water, means he was born of a woman, and his blood came from his father. That means that he was God himself. You know, I didn't know this until I heard a doctor say this, is that for when we're born, a lot of us don't realize that the mother is the one that brings us through the matrix or the womb, but the blood comes from our father. Our father's blood is what runs through our veins. So he had the blood of the father running through his veins. Thank God for that pure blood. Blood that made it so that he could be the sacrificial lamb for our lives. I thank him for that. But we don't always show our thankfulness when we don't witness for him to him. Another thing is we don't do is we don't realize that. And I know people are not going to like this, because I don't even talk about this too much, even at church. But on giving. You know, if your wallet doesn't get saved, you're not saved. One thing about God, he says, the generous soul shall be made fat. And if you see me, you know that, hey, I must be generous because I am fat. But that's all right. Fat is where it's at. But you know what? The Lord showed me that there's different ways of giving. I asked the Holy Spirit to show me. I'm trying to do it in 2 minutes. Because I know when you start talking about money, and I didn't ask y'all for anything. We don't ask for any money for you. We don't beg and say, send us money for our program and all that, because my wife and I are saying we want to do this from our hearts. We want people to come to know you and don't have to be saying, well, they just out for money. No. The church doesn't even help us. And that's okay, because God's going to bless us for it. He already is. But think, first of all, some of you haven't paid your tithes. I don't know how long. And it's 10%. Tithing is easy giving. Rich people can tithe, poor people can tithe. And even people that don't have any tithe money can tithe with their service. They can tithe with their hearts, with their prayers. Offering. If you don't have 10%, give an offering. Give what you can give. Then there's number three. So you got tithes, you got offering, you got tithes and offering. That's for the church and for benevolence. You make sure the church is running so that the church can keep on doing what it's supposed to do while we're waiting for Christ to come back, so we can be about his business. Church business. Church is a business of bringing, of reaching people, reaching souls. And we are also supposed to be taking care of the poor, those that can't help themselves. Then I got four, giving by faith. That's when God has purpose and you've come to him in prayer and he said, all right, George, this is what I want you to give. Give it to your wife. Ask her to pray. Find out what, and you guys agree on what you in your prayers, what I told you to give. Then give it by faith. It might be 10%, it might be less, it might be more, but give it by faith. Number five, you'll find this in Corinthians. Hilarious giving. Just giving so much because you got joy. You're just giving so much money, you don't even realize. You just turn your pants upside down because God has blessed you. And I call it upside down giving. Just hang, you just, whoa, Lord Jesus, thank you. Have mercy. And that's giving the way God wants you to give, more than a tenth. And then there's a Holy Ghost generosity. Give to whoever the Holy Spirit shows you. And those are people who are not in church. When you're out on the streets, you see people, they might ask you, and we know there's a whole lot of crooks out there. We know there's people out there that are shucking and jiving, and people, you know, people hard times, people acting like they need, but hey, they need to know that that's going to be a witness against them when they see the Lord. Then prosperity. When God gives you prosperity, that's because, wow, he's giving you so much, you got to give some away. All right. And so, and the other one is just joyful giving. And that is like JCPenney. That's when you give, that's kind of like upside down giving. JCPenney said, if you keep me from going bankrupt during the 20s, when we had the depression, he said, Lord, one day I'll give you up to 90% of what I earned. And he surely did that. And JCPenney is still around. A whole lot of other businesses are gone. So anyway, that's what I want to deal with, authority, and then I want to deal with giving, because God's given us the authority to do great things for him. And one of the great things you can do is start giving. Help people who can't help themselves. And love people who can't. Give your love. Give yourself like Christ did. He didn't hold back anything. God bless you. See you next time.